I want to wish everyone an early Merry Christmas. Why don't we say Merry Christmas to each other in our seats? Feels good to say. Now, as we're starting here, and let's be honest, if gifts or receiving gifts are one of your favorite things about the holiday, bravely raise your hand. All right, thank you for your honesty. That was slow, but a lot of us did it. So for those that just raised their hand, you just qualified to receive a gift right now. Oh, now everyone wants to change it up. No, okay, all right. No, everybody can participate. So I want to start off by giving a gift, but you're going to have to earn it. You guys ready? So I have in my pocket a gift card. Let's see what I got. You know what that is. I know. We all know. All right. So you're going to raise your hand if you think you have the answer to the question that I'm going to ask. And I'm looking for a number, all right? The answer is going to be a number. So you raise your hand. I'm going to scour the audience. And whoever I see first, I'm going to call on you. And if you get the number right, you got $20 of Starbucks, all right? All right, so here we go. How many different recipients does the average Christmas shopper buy gifts for? All right, I saw over there. 10? No. 15. No. I had to go over here in the back. Yes, right here, huh?
Four.
No. All the way in the back. No. Right here in the middle.
50?
No. Right here. No. Oh, this is good. All right. Over here, yes. Smelled it. No. Right here.
Five.
No. I cannot believe this is happening. All right. You guys have been very close.
Ten.
So close, but no. Yes, in the middle. Correct. Come on up. Wow, that was intense. Congratulations. Don't drink it all in one sitting, all right. Spread it out a little bit. Spread it out, okay. Okay, I have another gift to give out. Who's alive right now?
I am.
I saw a hand right here. Your hand was first, coming up. Congratulations. That felt good, right? That felt really good, right? That was an equal opportunity, right, for both gifts? No? Okay, interesting. Well, which person would you say deserved the gift? Oh, why? Why does Gennaro deserve the gift? Because he knew the answer. Did he know?
The secret knowledge.
So no? And then what was the second question? So you're saying she didn't deserve it? She's alive. Mark was definitely the loudest, but the hand went up just after Sabine. So it's really interesting to think about gifts in this way. You could say giving the gift in response to someone answering the trivia correctly makes sense, but the person who just responded, yes, I have a pulse, didn't really do anything to deserve the gift. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about gifts you feel like you deserve and gifts maybe that you don't deserve. So who's got all their Christmas shopping done right now? You're just totally done. People are proudly raising their hand. Most of us have not done it. That's okay. Who's got all their decorating done? Decorating done? Okay, a little bit better on that one. I have a warning for those who have not done their decorating yet. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says 14,700 people visit hospital emergency rooms each Christmas season from holiday-related decorating accidents. So I just want to make sure you're well warned about the intensity that's about to happen. All right, so 2,000 years ago, we have a record in the Gospel of Matthew about some gifts that were given to a little baby. In Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it says, after they heard the king and went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gifts of gold, gifts of frankincense, and gifts of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So if we're continuing our little theme here of gifts that we think we deserve and gifts that we don't deserve, how would this qualify? Is this a gift that this baby did something to deserve being given? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? No, it's just a baby. It's just alive, right? Just had a pulse. Now, certainly you could say there's prophecies and there's all the hundreds of years of people getting ready for a Messiah, but the baby was just born. That's all the baby did. Don't we often give gifts when, I mean, people haven't really deserved it? I mean, on your birthday, I mean, we have this whole naughty nice thing at Christmas, but like you still get gifts even if you kind of were like, didn't have your best year, right? I mean, you hope people are still going to give you gifts. I don't normally hear about people saying, this year, I'm not going to give you any gifts because I feel like it was one of your worst. If you've heard that, I am so sorry. Hopefully we can. I have a gift for you. I will give you a gift to make up for that. No, Jesus just existed. These are gifts of grace, gifts of grace. Each of these magi didn't give the same gift either. It wasn't the same thing that each of them thought of. They each had their own perspective, their own understanding about this event that was taking place. One of them gave gold, and one scholar says that gold was given because this magi believed Jesus was king. Another gave frankincense, which is like an incense that you would light on fire and the smell would go up and you would use that in worship. And this scholar believes this was given because this magi believe Jesus was God. And then the third, myrrh, what is that? It's a funeral spice. Interesting gift to give to a baby. But this was given for Jesus because this magi believed, according to this scholar, that Jesus would eventually make a future sacrifice and die for the salvation of the world. You know, when I think about gifts, I think about all the gifts we have been given. Gifts we don't deserve and didn't earn. I think about gifts that I have inherited sort of in my DNA from my parents. So all of us, like, think in your mind for a minute, what are some of those gifts you've received? What are some God-given gifts that you have inherited, that God has planted in you, that you didn't deserve, you didn't earn? Yeah, you might have helped it along the way, but you just have it. Be thinking about that. You know, I think about different things, like maybe you're very happy about your height, all right? Maybe you're happy that you're not so tall that you hit your head on things and that you have issues with your back and all that kind of thing. Or maybe you're happy you are. Maybe you're very grateful that you've been given a God-given gift of your sense of humor. Some of you are hilarious, all right? Maybe your strength. You're like, I have a strong body, or your dexterity or athleticism. Maybe it's how friendly you are. That's just something you always had. Or maybe you always look on the bright side of things, or you're always looking to serve. These are some gifts that you might have fanned in a flame along the way, but these are God-given gifts. One of my gifts, I think, is curiosity. My parents tell stories about me as a kid where they'd be wheeling me around through a grocery store or something, and I just, as I learned to talk, would be asking everybody, what's your name, and how you doing, and my name's John, and where you come from, and I just have always been like that. I've always wanted to know why people do what they do. I know some of you guys are like that too. I'm still like that. I'm just fascinated by what makes people tick. Sometimes I ask so many questions, people think I have like an agenda. Like, what are you trying to get out of me? No, I just want to know your story. I'm grateful for that gift. I'm grateful for my gift of curiosity. So let's take a minute. You're going to turn to someone you're sitting next to and share one gift that you've just been thinking about. I've been stalling this whole time to help you think of something. And then just share, what's the gift you feel like God has given you, one of many, and why do you like it? All right, go. All right. Did everyone get a chance to share? For those at home, you're more than welcome to share with people around you as well. All right. So, all right, let's bring it back. Thank you. Hopefully that was fun and encouraging. Hopefully you like the certain things that God has given you, and sometimes it takes some time to get used to that. But these are gifts you were given. There's nothing that you necessarily earned or deserved. But of course, after you were given them, you've used them, you've honed them, and trained them for good. There's a few Greek words in the New Testament for the word gift, and I'm just going to show you one, the most popular one. And it's actually pretty easy to pronounce because we have an English word. It's charisma. Let's all say that together, charisma. Now you say, oh, charisma, I got swagger, I got gravitas. Yes, maybe that's how it developed over time into our English language, but charisma from charis is really the word for grace, that you've been given something freely. You've been given something without having to pay a cost for it. I want to show you three quick passages in the New Testament where this word is used for these gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says, now there are varieties of charismaton, but the same Spirit, all right? Varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, it's crucial, first of all, that as we're thinking about these gifts, that we see them and embrace them. Sometimes it can be difficult to do that, right? For some of us, it's like easy to do that little exercise. Oh, I'm hilarious and I love my gift, right? You might also have another gift of arrogance. No. Or I have the gift of being gorgeous, can't you tell, right? And so there's all these different ways. Some of us are not so easily connected to that. It's a little bit more difficult seeing our gifts, and that's okay. The first century church in Corinth, I think, also had a hard time with that, and that's why Paul is helping them to get in touch with it here. They needed to be reminded. You know, perhaps this Christmas you can ask for the gift of encouragement from people around you, family and friends. In prepping for today, I actually had to ask my wife because I was like thinking, well, if I'm going to do this exercise, I probably need to practice it. And I'm like, okay. And then I was like, I don't really know. Nothing came to mind. I'm like, I don't know what my gifts are. I think there's things I've worked at. And then she starts ripping off like, boom, boom, boom. She got to 10 real fast. And I was so filled up. I was so encouraged. And the first one she said is, you're very curious. And I'm like, yeah, I am curious. I didn't even think about that. So she's the one that even gave me that. It's amazing how in 30 seconds, I went from feeling a little bit like disconnected and confused to being made aware of things that God has given me. That's an encouraging thing. We ought to be in that habit of reminding one another, these are the things that God has given you, and I'm so grateful that God has given you this gift. It encourages me. So maybe that's something that we do this Christmas. You know, the variety of gifts, but the scripture says the same Spirit, meaning that our gifts are different, but not better or worse than others. It's empowering to see our gifts. The second passage, 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the charismatos that is in you. Do not neglect the gift that God is giving you. So first, you got to see it, then you got to be it, right? Here, Timothy is commanded not to neglect his own spiritual gifts. Same with us. You know, I think of people that just look impressive, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? He's just a big guy, strong guy. And, you know, if you see pictures of him back in the day, he didn't always look that way, right? So he was given a certain gift, right? There's certain things that he didn't, you know, to be 6'5", he didn't earn that. You could argue he didn't necessarily deserve it, but he got it, right? But then he built on top of that, right? Just a little. I'm not going to show a picture of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So it's awesome that we also, in that same way, have certain God-given gifts, right? You're friendly, you're funny, but how do we hone that gift forward? How do we develop that spiritual gift to make impact to people around us? You know, one of my greatest New York church memories is when the daytime arts ministry went to a nursing home on the Upper West Side. And we just had this, many of you guys were there, we had this incredible time where we put on like a variety show for some of the residents there. And it was just such a joy and so much fun, incredible singing and music and performance. And I did my best Elvis impersonation, which I've been practicing for years. And the room was just packed, and the crowd loved it. And it's one of those moments where you see so clearly, I mean, people that work on Broadway and are professional musicians giving their gifts in this room, freely giving, and yet in response, also getting so much in return, so much joy, the satisfaction of being able to give. So it's important that we do not neglect our gifts, like the scripture says. And then finally, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever charisma each of you has received. So this final challenge is to serve one another with your gifts. One another here, even in this room, to serve, to encourage, to lift up one another, especially as we finish up another year of such loss and such disconnection. And by the way, I do want to just take a brief moment here and say a big thank you to the staff at the Time Center here that host us week after week and show us such love and hospitality. Thank you. It is an understatement to say how much trauma we have experienced collectively in the last couple years here in New York City. And to be able to have this time where we're coming back, to have this space, this beautiful church home where we can come and worship and talk to each other in person for the first time in so long for so many of us. So we're so grateful to be here. And so we come and we connect and we serve each other. And it's been such a gift. You know, I was at the store, a store many of you might be familiar with. And sometimes I've had amazing experiences there and sometimes not so much. If you work there, I'm very grateful. Thank you. Thank you for serving. I was there to pick up some Christmas photos. And five ladies were working behind the counter. And it was a busy time. And I wasn't in the normal line because I was in the printer line. But, of course, no lines are demarcated in the store. So you're just sort of figuring it out, as often you do in New York, right? You make your own line and you figure it out. And so I'm there in my own line, and as soon as I walk up, I said, oh, I'm here to pick up some photos. I hope you're having a great day. And she looked at me and just went like this. And I don't do sign language. I didn't know what she meant by that. And I was trying to work with it. I was like, oh, okay, is everything okay? Can I get you anything? I was like, sounds like, and I said, has it been a rough day? And she said, still no words. And then I'm thinking, oh, maybe she doesn't speak. And I was like, okay, this is going to be an interesting conversation. So I'm trying to figure out. And then she finally says, it's been a rough one. And I said, I'm so sorry. I've been there. And, I hope this will be easy. I'm just, picking up a few photos and hope your day goes better. So then proceeds 45 minutes of a search for the missing 20 photos. And it went from this printer to this cartridge to this box to this shelf to this thing. And it was just like at one point, all five were looking for the missing photos, right? And in the end, it was like, they don't exist. They're not here. I see the receipt. I see you paid for them. I know it happened. It didn't happen. You ever been there? And, I'm running late and it's 45 minutes and, what are you going to do? You can't control it. But then all of a sudden, a guy walks in with a bouquet of flowers. And by the time he walks around the counter, the lady that was helping me looks up, and she looks shocked. And all the five ladies behind the counter, almost in unison when they realized what was going on, aww. Basically, and I'm a curious person, so I'm like, hey, who's that? What's going on? And the one helping me is blushing and embarrassed and almost like not wanting to look. It turns out that he's her husband, and he took off work to come and encourage her with some flowers. And you can see, even though he has a mask on, you can see the smile coming out. He's so happy to be able to do something for his wife. And so it was like watching a movie. I mean, it was like a little emotional, and everyone's like, now people are like, filming, and I'm going to put this on my Instagram. And I'm like, it's all sweet and all this kind of stuff. I forgot about my pictures. At that point, I wasn't getting them anyway. It was like, there's no way this is happening. And I didn't get them. I walked out without the pictures. But it's just a moment where everything froze because a gift was given. That's a really cool thing. A gift is special. I'm like that at Christmas. I don't care what it is. It could be tiny. It could be, you know, an eraser. When I'm opening that thing, I'm like, oh, what is it? I mean, everything freezes. And I don't think about everything else that's going on. I'm just thinking about that gift. I love when people say, when they're opening it, what is it? What is it? I've always wanted to blurt out, headphones, and just tell them, you know? I've had to really bite my tongue on that. You know, we give our gifts here in the church. And as I close out, you know, many of us are on the receiving end as well as we come to church because so many people, obviously the Time Center staff, but we have amazing people that get here 2 hours before church starts to set up, right? All of this, all the microphones and the musicians and the people rehearsing, people producing, people setting up, our crew in the back, the media team, running the cameras, running the stream so that people can see from at home. All right, our ushers, right? Our ushers who work so hard, our health check people at the front, everybody working really hard. So as we close out in a couple of minutes, one of the things that we're going to do, and we've done it in the past, is we're going to have a little extra Christmas fellowship in the lobby. We're going to play a little music. We're going to have a little fun. And we're going to have some tables set up because we're going to do our little volunteer fair. You remember that? Yeah. Oh, why are you laughing? I don't get it. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's an opportunity where all of us in the church can say, you know what? I want to be a part of one of those teams because in 2022, we want to continue having church, right? But we can't keep relying on these guys or we're going to burn them out, right? So we got to help them and we got to help set up and help do the cameras and help do the ushering. Am I right? Yes. I didn't trick you into that. This is just what gift giving is all about, right? All right, so we're going to have some tables set up, and I really want to encourage everybody to consider helping out. The crew is the people that load and set up the equipment and strike at the end, the wires that you see, no previous experience needed. The media team, they run the stream so people can watch from at home, which is such a gift, right? We have projection, the beautiful slides that we get and all this set up here, moderating the chat online, some really neat opportunities to be able to serve in that way. The ushers, they bring us the body of Christ, right? That's a pretty big deal when we take the communion and they help us as we come in. The greeters in the front, the first impression of the church, people that help check the vax card and the health form. There's so much going on right now, right? So we need a lot of help and we want to encourage you guys to consider serving in that way. You know, when it comes to children's ministry, we haven't been able to have an organized children's ministry downstairs, and we have that beautiful space there, but we're not really ready to, and there's all kinds of COVID policies we're working through right now. But we are praying and hoping that in the spring we can start it up. So what we want to do today, and Caesar and Belkis will be there at the table, is sign up to fill one of those slots whenever it is we start. So it'll probably be some kind of spring semester, and then we do summer, and then a fall. So if you could please put your name in. It doesn't lock you in 1,000%. What it does is it allows us to reach out, get your contact info, and say, hey, I saw you write this down. Can we start chatting? We'll get you trained, get you screened, and all that kind of stuff. You guys with me here? Yes. Guys, it's amazing, and I want to thank all the teachers for the past many years that have served because, yes, amen. It's awesome. So encouraging. So Arlene and I, we have two children, they're teenagers, and one of them is applying to college right now. And to think that you, many of you taught her when she was 6 years old and 8 and 10 about God, and my son as well, of course, but she's at the point now where she's getting ready to go off to school, as many of you parents have said so long to your children. And it's amazing to think about all those lessons, those connections that you've made. So I really want to thank the teachers, and we're looking forward to you guys serving as we get into the new year. All right, now, quick logistic note on that. For the children's ministry, you do have to be a member of the church that goes through some screening, a member for a certain amount of time. But I do want to say, anyone who would like to serve in those other roles, put your name down. If you're visiting, put your name down. We want to create opportunities for anyone that's part of this larger community to be able to serve, and we can work that out together. Also, to continue the gift theme, On your way out of the building today, several people have worked very hard, especially Mike Petty making some cookies and my wife Arlene. So you're going to have a Christmas grab bag to leave the building on. And there's more. We're going to give you extra bags. And the reason why, there'll be one for you, but at least one more for you to take. And your job is you can't keep it. You got to give it away. And you, probably right in this, you know, block area, there's a lot of folks that you could give it to, all right? And hopefully they'll be encouraged by that. So that's the rule. If you take one, you got to give another. Now, I just learned this. Black Friday is not the busiest shopping day of the year. It's actually the Saturday before Christmas. Did you know that? And that was yesterday. I hope you survived. This Christmas, though, let's make a conscious effort not to get sucked into the commercialism and greed of the holiday, but to think about the priceless spiritual gifts that we have been given. And because we know we didn't deserve them or earn them, we're happy to freely give them away. Amen? So, I do have one more gift to give. Who wants it? I saw Jeff's hand go up. Jeff, come on up. So easy, right? Just so easy.
Thank you, bro.
Now, Jeff, stay here for a minute.
All right.
I want you to think for a minute. This lesson we just did. What would you like to do with that possibly right now? Go give it to the usher. Now, Jeff, that's awesome. Congrats, Emma. Come back down. Because I think this is what God does. When you freely give it away, you get double. Oh, this is a fun service today. Oh, man. If we do this every week, it'll be packed out in here. Okay, all right. Thank you, Jeff, for that lesson. And enjoy the $40 of Starbucks. All right. Guys, your gifts get stronger the more you give them away. It doesn't make sense, does it? It's like if you give your money away, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get double. But there's something amazing about spiritual gifts. If you have the gift of generosity, the more you give, the stronger your gift gets. If your gift is loving, the more you give away, the more loving you're going to be, the more capacity you'll have. I love what Winston Churchill said. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. You know, Jesus was given gifts as a baby, but he gave all of us the gift of his life on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 9, in verse 15, it says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here to celebrate Christmas, to get in the spirit of gift giving. We are grateful that we've received so much from you and from your Son. We pray now in this time of communion to remember his death and his resurrection, to honor that by making decisions and renewing our commitment to being people who give our gifts freely away. Thank you for giving yours. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.